Good morning. It is good to be back. We are we're super thankful for the time away, and we're super thankful for men that could step up and open the book and proclaim it, and that I didn't have to worry about that while I was away, because I knew that what was going to go forth was God's word, and it wasn't going to be man's opinion. And that takes a huge burden off of me wanting to worry and fret about that kind of thing. And so, man, I'm just super thankful for that. And I thank Travis and for Tom for doing that. You guys ran Tom off. He didn't come back. So you must have really heckled him. No, they're out of town this week. So, but I'm super thankful for you men for doing that. And we are so refreshed. It was a long overdue vacation that I didn't think I really needed. I wanted to go, but I didn't think I needed it. And it took a couple days for me to realize that, man, it's super important for us to do that. It's super important to just get away and not to like disconnect, right? Because I was available, and praise the Lord, no issues came about, and we were able to just vacation. And Shorty and I played a lot of golf, and Sherry called it some redneck name, I don't know, pasture pool or something, cow patty pool, I don't know, but I love to play golf, and I haven't got to play golf a lot lately, and it was good to just go and do that and build some memories of Shorty doing that and lose a lot of golf balls. And but we needed it both physically, and we needed it spiritually. I did. I needed it physically to just rest. I'm a carpenter, and it's hard on my body, and usually when I rest, it makes it even worse on my body, because if my body like shuts down and I don't know, I'm weird like that, and I need to be moving, and I can't sit still, because when I do, I hurt. But I just needed to do that, and I just needed some good old pool time. Spent some time in some chlorinated water, and it was really awesome. So today I want to just do a bit of a refresher. As I was away, I did a lot of praying about our vision and about what God's doing and where He's taken us, where He's brought us from, and the things that are going on. And He directed me. I had all intentions to get back into 1 Timothy today, but He didn't want us there today, because He kept directing me to what we're going to talk about today. And I think that we need refreshers. We need reminders. We need that. I do, because I forget so much sometimes, that especially in the year that we're living in right now. There's so many distractions. There's so much stuff going on. There's so many things that are trying to pull our attention away from what truly does matter, which is the Word of God and the souls of men. And things are trying to steal that away. We have a pandemic going on. We have an election year, and you can't go anywhere without somebody talking about the COVID-19 or the election or all these politicians. And it's real. That's the world we live in, and that's what we're dealing with. But we need to not focus on that so much. We have to deal with it. We have to live in this world. We can't not just block all that out. We have to deal with that. But when that becomes all-consuming, we totally lose track of what we are about. We totally lose focus on the mission. So today, I want to back up to 2019. Next year, we're going to get back to 2020. We need to refocus. And God showed me this week, and we'll get to that eventually here. But I want to back up to 2019, because each year God gives me like a vision or a theme for the year. And in 2019, it was all about focus, right? Focusing on what matters. And we looked at that, and we beat that horse until it was dead, and we're going to beat it some more today, because we need to. I think our focus has been blurred a little bit. And I speak for myself. You guys know what's going on in your life, but this year has been the craziest year of my 40 years on this earth that I can ever remember, and there's so much going on that it only points to Jesus is coming back soon, because, man, this is crazy. We all know that. We are all living it. So this year can be defined, I've heard people call it like a train wreck. And people's plans and their vision have been altered due to what we're going through, right? We can be the greatest planner out there, and we can be the greatest communicator out there, but The problem is we don't look for the obstacles and the roadblocks and the potholes that are in the road. And there's things that happen. And we've all been going through that this year in 2020. What God reminded me of is that He is faithful and that He never changes. We need to remember that. We change, right? We get older, we get fatter, we get whatever. But God never changes. It says in Hebrews 13:8 that Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever, He never changes. We can rely on that. We can place our faith in that. We can put all the money in the bank on that He will never change, because He's the same today as He was yesterday, and that He is going to be forever. And that is perfect. He's perfect. There's no flaws when it comes to God. Though the world that we live in may be changing every day, that does not mean that Jesus is changing in order to fit the mold of this world. He doesn't change so that maybe He can fit in a little more, or so that He can reach more people. He doesn't do that. He doesn't act like a chameleon. And I think that we as people do that. We get into a certain crowd and we begin to morph into what they are so that we can fit in. And then we use the excuse of, well, I'm just trying to build relationships so that I can share the gospel. Well, that's kind of okay, but it's not okay. We don't need to blend in with a crowd in order to share the gospel, because we are light and we are going into darkness and they do not mix. Okay? They don't. If you're truly born again today, you are light and you can't blend in with that darkness. And God is, man, He has really shown me that. I just turned 40 years old and I hung up my softball glove and cleats a long time ago, and I got suckered into playing softball again. And my wife's like, oh my gosh, you have a job, you have a family, you need to stop doing that. I was like, I'll just take it easy. And she looked at me like, yeah, I've only been married to you for how long? Well, this team is made up of a lot of worldly people. There's probably some on the team that would say they were Christians, but I was like, okay, God, I'm going to do this. Protect me from injury, but most of all, let me be light. Let me be light in this darkness of this group of individuals, and let my light shine so bright that they can understand that I am different. And that's working. It is. I'm not blending in with the crowd, with their language. That language is far gone from me. But we don't need to blend in. John 17:16 tells us this. They are not of the world, even as I am not of this world. Jesus Christ Himself spoke these words. Church, we are not of this world. We may be here physically right now, but this is not our home. And Jesus Christ says, hey, I am not of this world. You are not of this world. Let's focus on that. We've been made new, church. We are new creatures in Christ, and that are set apart from this world that we stand on today. And we lose so quickly, we lose focus on that. Because we are living here. And we get so consumed by our jobs and by everything that we have to do that is worldly, that we lose focus on the spiritual aspect of that. The Bible says that we're seated together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. That is our home. Our home, our residence is in heaven. Just as Paul tells us in Romans chapter 2 to not be conformed to this world, don't blend in with this world. Don't morph or become a chameleon to this world. Quit changing colors. Quit changing your whatever you're doing to make people like you. Jesus did not ever conform to this world. Though He came and lived on the same world that we live on today, He never conformed to this world. In 1 John 2:15, it tells us to love not the things of this world. I love a lot of the things of this world, and that is sin in my life. I love to do things, and it's okay. But when we place those things above God and above our relationship with Him, that is where it becomes an issue. So I want to take this morning and step back to January 1 of 2019.
I want us to refocus. And I want us to think about what we're doing. I want us to look at the vision that God gave us. In 2019, it was about focusing on what matters. This year is pressing towards the mark. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 is where we were at in January 1st, 2019. This is the exact, we only used one verse out of this. We're going to look at the passage, and we're going to cruise through some passages this morning. But Matthew chapter 6 is where we need to find ourselves in the text this morning. And we need to really think about, what are we focused on? What is our attention being driven towards? In Matthew chapter 6, we're just going to, it's 19 through 21. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, it says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasure upon earth, where moth and dust or rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But," always pay attention to the word but "lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal." And then verse 21, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Let's pray. Father God, I pray this morning, as we tune our focus into your word today, as we begin to dig into what you have for us, God, that you would clear all the distractions, clear anything that's going on right now, and allow us to focus for this short time even. Allow us to allow you to fill us up and energize us and charge us to go out of here and accomplish your mission. God, I'm thankful for your grace and your mercy and for you and allowing us to be refreshed, allowing us to be reminded of what you have for us, allowing us to be reminded of the mission daily. God, forgive us for being forgetful hearers and charge us and command us, just energize us to be doers of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So Matthew chapter 6, this verse, this passage is just so awesome. Because man, there's no one in this room that can't take these verses and apply them to their lives today. We all can picture ourselves right here in this with Jesus speaking it directly to us. Because he just simply says, hey, don't lay up treasure here on earth. Don't spend your time and your talent and your resources focused on this earthly kingdom that you're building. But yet we often do that. Yes, we have to have a job. Yes, we have to have a house. We have to have transportation. We need those things. But not more than we need God. And not more than we need to be sharing his word. And oftentimes we use the things of this world, our treasure, right? If we're honest today, the treasure that we're laying up here on earth, we use that as an excuse that we can't share the gospel. Well, man, I am so busy. I'm working 80 hours a week. I'm doing this, I'm doing that. And I just don't have time to be focused on ministry. And I think it's not until we say those words with our mouth that we understand how ignorant it sounds. And I don't mean that in a negative sense, but how unlearned we are. That we are so focused on worldly things, focused on building our treasure here upon earth, that we forget that's not what we were created to do. We were not created to make millions of dollars and do all of these things. We were created to glorify God and reproduce worshipers. That's what we were created to do. This year's vision is to press towards the mark. So last year we focused on what matters. This year we're to press towards the mark. And what God reminded me of this week and over the past several weeks and months is that you cannot do one without the other. There was a reason that he laid this out this way. Because if we are not focused, we cannot press towards the mark because we're focused on the wrong thing. We're focused on verse 19, laying up treasures upon this earth. We forget that Jesus says, hey, don't do that. We get focused on that, and then we are pressing in the wrong direction. We are pressing towards the wrong thing. And God reminded me of that hey, I think we need to step back. I think we, and I could, this could all be for me, church. This could be God just speaking to me, but this is what he had for me to share today. He reminded me that everything on this earth, except for the souls of men, and the Word of God are going to burn with a fervent heat. Nothing else matters. No matter what, no excuses that we can come up with mean a hill of beans, because everything the Bible clearly tells us that's going to burn with a fervent heat. But yet we get so unfocused on those two things, the only two things that are going to be eternal. Those two things, focusing and pressing, go together. We can't do one without the other. And it has to be done decently in order. That's what we need to remember. For some of us, this is happening in our lives, but for others, the focus has been blurred. We need to go to the eye doctor. We need to get new glasses, and we need to be able to see clearly. Today is the day. Today is the day that God has us here to do that. It says, lay not up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But, that word but, underline that word but, right? Circle that word but, do whatever you need so that you can remember what that is telling, what Jesus is saying there. He says, don't do this, but this is what you need to be doing. This is what you need to be focused on. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where nothing will destroy it. Where nothing will steal it. Where nothing will corrupt it. How do we do that? We must focus on the things that matter. The Word of God and the souls of men. It's really that simple. It's so simple, but yet we so complicate it that we make it to where it's hard to focus on it. How do we focus on the Word of God? Well, first of all, you got to open the book. First of all, you need to open the book and you need to begin to just read it. Yes, we say that every single week, but it's so important. We open the fridge. I open the refrigerator too many times every day. Why? Because I'm hungry. Why don't we open the book? Because our spirit is starving. Starving to death. But yet we need a Pop-Tart. We need something to satisfy the flesh. We're laying up ourselves treasures in heaven. We're building this big gut that we have to carry around. Well, all the while, Jesus says, hey, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where none of this stuff on earth will affect it. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. This is where the problem lies for most of the world, including many believers today. The question that we must ask ourselves is, what is my treasure? What is my treasure in my life? We could make a list, a huge list. Our wives, our spouses, our children. There would be several things on that list. I hope that God would be on that list. And man, he needs to be at the top. What is your treasure? That's a serious question that we need to ask. Because we all have a treasure box and we like to get things out of the treasure box. What am I investing in the most? What is my treasure and what am I investing in the most? When you come up with your answer, you're going to find where your heart is. It will be what matters most in your life. What are you focused on the most? What do you spend most of your time doing? And we can use this, well, work. Well, that's good, but what are you doing at work that matters? Most of us here work a 40-hour week job or however many weeks or we take care of our kids or whatever we do. We're so consumed by that we forget what truly matters inside of that. There are a lot of things that are important to us, and that's great. We should have things that are important to us. We have special things that we love, but the question that we must ask ourselves is, where is God in that picture, in the big picture of all of it? Where does God rank in the list of things that are most important? And it's easy for us to scratch it out and put him at the top now. But truly, when you think about that, where does he rank? Where does he rank in your life? It's easy for us to say, God is number one. He's number one in my life.
But the question is, what do your actions say about that? What does your life say where God is in your life? What does your lifestyle tell the people around you where God is in your life? Not your lips, but the way you live your life.
Let me read a verse out of Hebrews chapter 13 real quick. I'm just going to flip there and then flip back. But Hebrews 13:5 says this. It says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Church, Jesus is enough. Jesus is enough. We can want all the things of this world, but there's only one that's never going to leave us nor forsake us or break down or burn up or any of that, and that's Jesus. He is the only thing that will not fail you. He is the only thing that is solid. Remember that. To be focused on what truly matters, we must be tuned into the Word of God. Every once in a while, my truck radio will like get off like one tune, like 95.1. I'm like, man, this is awful staticky. And I look down, I'm like, oh, I'm out of tune. What do? I want to hear a song on the radio. I tune it back. But what do we do when our communication with God gets fuzzy? Do we like take action? Do we do something about it, or do we just brush it off and it's not that important to us? A little bit of static in the background doesn't really affect us. We need to be proactive. Turn the dial. Get back in communication with God. He is speaking so clearly, but we distort it with all the things of this world that it's like we're on a completely different channel. And he's still trying to communicate with us. We must have fellowship with him. We must trust him. Youth group, Friday night. It seems like I always use something from our youth group, but man, it's just so awesome what we're going through in the book of Genesis. But youth group on Friday night, we talked about this. Jacob was told by God to return back to his land and to go and face his brother Esau. And Jacob's like, he's going to slaughter me. He's going to murder me. He's going to destroy everything that I have. But he did it. And we got to see a little bit of the conclusion of what happened when Jacob finally obeyed God. And though he's a knothead and he did some things, put, you know, whatever, he was scared. But we learned Friday night that God truly was in control. And his brother did not kill him, but instead did just the opposite of that. Esau didn't come at him with a sword. He didn't come at him with ill intentions. He came at him and ran towards him and embraced him and hugged his neck. And it was a great reunion. It had been 20 years since the brothers had seen each other. And though the separation was not good when it happened, man, Esau was just so happy to see his brother. And Jacob was floored by that. He was so scared that he was going to destroy him, but yet, man, God's grace just showered him. Some of the things that we can be focused on can involve fear, church. I think a lot of, especially this year, there's so much fear out there. Especially if you turn the TV on, all they want to do is instill fear into us. Truth or not truth, who knows? I don't get wrapped up in all that baloney, but all the world is trying to do is to just cause so much fear and suppress us by this fear. This is the world we live in. We can't just stop doing what we're doing. So why do we allow this fear to pour out on us and to suppress us? Oftentimes we think that the material things, it is the material things that we're focused on, but actually, you know what? We don't fight against flesh and blood, the Bible says. We don't fight against flesh and blood. This is just a sign that Jesus is, he's coming back, and the devil's honked off about it. It's a spiritual warfare that we're in. And in the present world that we live in right now, fear is a real battle. I would say it's the biggest battle that's being fought today is fear. Fear is this giant enemy that we all face every day when we walk out of our house and we're told to do this or don't do that or do this and you can do that sometimes. It's so confusing. We're scared of the fear of the unknown. We're scared of the fear of the what ifs. This fear is a tool of the devil himself. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, it says, "For God does not give us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Fear does not come from God. Remember that. Remember that verse. "For God doth not give us the spirit of fear, but just the opposite. He gives us the power, the love, and that. He gives us a sound mind. He gives us his word that we can be transformed by, not conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of our mind," Romans 12, 2, "so that we don't have to walk in fear." If you're scared and you're wrapped up in all of this, get in the book. Satan's laying a trap for the world to get caught up in. And this will cause you to not be able to focus on what matters. So what is truly supposed to matter in the lives of the believer? We know the Sunday school answer, right? I can remember when my kids were little and they'd come home or we'd pick them up from Sunday school at HPF and we'd say, "What'd you learn about Jesus?" Of course you learned about Jesus. That's such a great answer and it's so correct. But what did you learn about Jesus? Jesus? We as adults do the same thing. What are we supposed to be focused on? God? Jesus? Yeah, that's what we're supposed to be focused on. But what inside of that? We need to go deeper than just the Sunday school answer. We know that it's the Word of God and the souls of men. That is like the umbrella, right, of the mission of what God has and told us to be focused on is the Word of God and souls of men, because that's what is eternal, and that's almost like a Sunday school answer also. But it's so true. Why is this? Why do we need to be focused on the souls of men and the Word of God? And I've already answered this. I got ahead of myself. Because it's eternal. The only eternal things on earth today. Everything else will be burned with a fervent heat. You can read in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 through 25. The word, let's look at it. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. It says this. In verse 22. "Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently." We know that word fervently means like burning. Verse 23. "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man is as flower of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." The word of God and the souls of men. What sets us free? The word of God. What makes us a new creature? The word of God. Well, it's Jesus. Yes, he is the word. We know that they're all one. The word abides, Jesus abides in every believer. We must have the word of God, and so must the world. Though they might not think they need the word of God, they need it desperately. And we must take what we get from the word and broadcast it to the world. Broadcast it. Be a loudmouth. Get the word out. It needs to be broadcast through our lives that we are so blessed to live. You know why? Because we're commanded to do so. We're commanded to broadcast the word of God to the world. Jesus himself said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Go. He didn't say, hey, if you have time between jobs or between changing diapers to tell somebody about the gospel. No, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Not a suggestion. He expects obedience. And why would we need to do that? Because there are souls at stake. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and people need to hear it. Whether they want to hear it or think they need to hear it, all we need to worry about is just walking by faith and proclaiming the word. And really just focus on that. And don't focus on what they're going to think of us. Don't focus on what they're going to say about us. Just focus on obeying the Father. You know, some of us get tired, maybe, I hope not. Some of us get tired of hearing, read your Bible, read your Bible, read your Bible, read the Word of God. But sorry, not sorry, right? Because we need it. If you're tired of hearing that, you need to read your Bible, then maybe you're the one that needs to read your Bible. We need reminded. I need reminded, right? I need reminded, hey, Brad, you're walking in the flesh. Why don't you go spend some time with the Lord? Or, hey, why don't you spend some time with the Lord so you don't walk in the flesh? We need that. We need reminded. We need accountability in our lives. There's always some of us that say, I read it, but I don't get anything from it. I read, but I don't understand. Have you reached out for help? Do you really want to understand the Bible? Reach out to me or somebody else, and we can get you hooked up with somebody that will help you walk through verse by verse of whatever you're reading. Spend time with you explaining what's going on in context and how to apply that to your life. We get so fearful, it all boils back down to fear of judgment. What are people going to think of me when I tell them I don't understand what I'm reading? Well, that's the first step to victory. Is admitting, hey, I don't get it. I need help. Don't worry about what others think. Focus on your walk with God. Focus on what He is speaking to you, verse by verse, out of His Word, and trust Him to grow you and show you how you ought to walk. And it begins with beginning to focus on what matters. And this will change your treasure. It's going to change your treasure. Some of us, even now, maybe you're counting the cost of man. It's going to cost me some treasure to walk with God. It's going to cost me something. I'm going to lose my most precious treasure because God is speaking to me. God has taken so much out of my life through the years since I've been saved that I don't even know what all He's taken, and I don't really care anymore because I just know the more of this world He takes out of me, the more of Him that is filled in me. And trust me, it's a much better thing. He's going to change your heart. He's going to change, if your treasure's changed, He's going to change your heart. Your heart will follow. And this is how it works. It takes faith. I told the youth on Friday night that fear can be defined like this. Fear is just simply the absence of faith. I stole that from somebody, and I don't know who it was, years and years ago. Somebody said it. I didn't make that up. But fear is just simply the absence of faith. When we're scared of something, it's because we don't have any faith. If you fear the unknown, it's because you're lacking faith. While we were away, we did one of those escape rooms. If you've done an escape room, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't, man, I would love to go with you. It's a little bit pricey, but man. We did an escape room in Branson. And the escape room was called Condemned. And this is not an escape room. It's called Escape Code. It's an off-brand or something. But it's ran by Christian folks. And man, it was so awesome. And one of the rooms they had was it was called Condemned, and it was based on Paul and Silas being locked up in prison. And so they put us in this prison, in this room. Paul and Silas had already been released, but now we have to figure out how to be released. And we had 1 hour, and it was the four of us, Annie and Delaney and myself and Shorty. And so you have to, if you've never done this, you have to like find clues and codes and all of this, and some of us are better at it than others, and but we were making our way through it, but all the while you have this clock that's ticking, It was the fastest hour of my life. It was like, holy cow, we're down to 3 minutes. We're in the last room, and we come to this last clue, and we're like, what is going on? We're building these words on the floor, and we're like, it says we have to sing. It says we have to sing. And if you know Acts chapter 16, you know the story of how Paul and Silas doing while they were locked in prison. They were singing, and they were praising God. Duh, I think if we would have sang in the first room, they would have just opened the door and been like, dang, you guys are awesome. We were so focused on getting all of these clues and keys and unlocking 75 padlocks to do all these things that we forgot. It just took faith. What released Paul and Silas from prison? What opened the gate? Them just doing what mattered, just praising God. With 3 minutes to spare, I'm like, well, it looks like we have to sing. And we're on camera, right? They're watching us on camera. And the three of them were like, and I'm like, this is going to be atrocious. But it worked. We sang and the doors were open. Hallelujah, we made it out with 3 minutes to spare. But my point here is this. Oftentimes we don't revert to faith. We revert to all of these other things. We're distracted, right? Those escape rooms are built upon distraction. They try to get you distracted with all of these different things and clues to where you forget what the main purpose is and what the main objective is. We just happened to pick a biblical one because I'm like, wow, we know the story. Maybe this will help. It kind of did, but not really. We were faced with the fear of failure as we were watching the clock run down, and it took God reminding us through a stinking dumb escape room game that it just takes faith to be released from that fear. Nobody likes to lose, especially in my family. We're like retarded competitive. And then you put four of us in the same room and it's like, oh my gosh. There was no fighting and there was no hitting or anything like that. We made it out without hurting each other. But we were just, it was a great reminder through a simple game of faith. So I say all this to say this, I guess. Yes, the big answer to what we are to focus on is the souls of men and the Word of God. But deeper than that, it's our faith. Do we have faith to believe the Word of God and that it can change men? Are we focused on our faith? The Bible says that we must walk by faith and not by sight. We have to do that. We just need to close our eyes, quit worrying about all of the stuff around us, and just focus on faith. Things will be so much, man. I'm not going to say they're going to be easier, and I'm not going to say they're going to be better, but man, if we just focus on our faith and trust God, never in the Bible does it say that this is not going to be hard and that this is not going to be painful. But he does say that, man, he's never going to leave us nor forsake us, and he is the great comforter, but yet we don't go to that for comfort. We go to things of this world. I believe that we all have or do struggle with our faith. Not losing our salvation faith, but our faith in believing that God will do what he says he's going to do. But a faith that is trusting God with our lives every day. God is a mountain mover. And nothing is too big for him. Shorty and I played a lot of golf in Branson, and a couple of the holes, we like teeing off into a mountain. We're like, well, we're supposed to hit the ball that way, but we have no idea where it's going. We just had to hit the ball by faith and hope that we don't hit someone. You know, but yet we put limitations on God and try to dictate what he can and can't do in and through us. And this is where I've been trying to get right here. So on vacation, usually when I go away on a missions trip or on a vacation, we don't take vacations very often, but when I go away, I try to just read through a book. And when we were going to Branson, God directed me to the book of Joshua. So turn to the book of Joshua, chapter 6. We'll get through this and then we'll be done. Joshua chapter 6. This is what God remind. This is how he used his word to remind me that it takes faith to focus on what matters. I was sharing with the youth on Friday night that the Old Testament is so awesome because there's so many battles, and man, you're building up to this climax of what's going to happen. And in Joshua chapter 6, I guess I should turn there. Joshua chapter 6, you can see kind of this. Because Joshua and his posse there and all the people that are with him, there was a huge mountain in the way. There was a huge mountain called these walls around the city of Jericho, and they were faced with this, and they'd already spied out the land, they'd already done all of this, and then they come and God gives them very direct instructions. God gave them the way into this. He said, hey, this is what you're going to have to do. And I was going to read the whole passage there, but maybe today for some homework, read Joshua chapter 6, 1 through 21, and you can get this. I'll lay this kind of out as we go here, but they're faced with these walls around the city, and they come to take the city, to destroy the city, and God says, this is how you're going to get in. And he gives them this crazy, if you've ever read the story, you know what I'm talking about. He gives them these crazy instructions. I need you to assemble everyone and put them in order. This is the order I want you to put them in. And I need you to just walk around the city. Walk around the city once a day for 7 days. And on the last day, do something a little extra. And the walls will be destroyed. If God was to tell me that, I'd be like, that's the most absurd thing I've ever heard. They must have screamed really loud. It was going to take complete obedience for this to happen. And God was very, very, very detailed in how he wanted everything laid out and how he wanted them to do this. It's really hard to jump in here without reading the whole passage, but we'll just keep going. So, I'm sure when Joshua, he was a great communicator here, and he told everyone what they needed to do and the timing of it and how they needed to do it. And I'm sure some of them were thinking, Josh, you've lost your mind. You've completely went off your, but that's not recorded, so I'm guessing that didn't happen, and they're just like, okay, we trust you. You're leading us. You're following God. God gave you these instructions, so let's do it. Let's make this happen. At the end of that passage, I will read this. In verse 20. So they did this, they were obedient for all week, and in verse 20 it says, so the people shouted with the priest when the priest blew the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat so that the people went in to the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city, and they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox and sheep and ass, with the edge of the sword. They followed the instructions and God came through. Joshua had to have some crazy faith to believe that God was going to do this. They had circled the city all week and they had done this, and it come to the last day and the trumpets blew and the people shouted and the walls came tumbling down. God speaks to us, church, in crazy ways also. And if you are in tune with him and you're reading the Bible and man, he's speaking to you, he's gonna put some things in front of you that he's like, only I can do this, but I can do it in and through you. Do you trust me? We have got to be focused. We have to be focused and in tune with him for this to happen. And God reminded me as I read through, I had read this passage so many times, and I love this. This is a Sunday school story, right? You put the kids around the table, they march around, and then the legs come out, everything's destroyed, you make a big mess in the room. But he spoke to me in a different way this time. And he told me, hey, you need to really be in tune. You need to listen to every detail. You need to listen to everything that I'm telling you, and you need to, because we're in a war. Y'all, we're circling this town, right? We're scattered all over Henry County. And God has, man, he's given us instruction, what? To share the gospel with people, to bring people to the saving faith of Jesus Christ, to see people born again. And sometimes we circle and we circle and we're like, I'm running out of time, God. We need something to happen here. We don't have faith that he's going to do what he said he's going to do. The gospel was shared with me many times. People circled my walls many times before God destroyed those walls. And man, my old life was utterly destroyed. There's no one in this town that God can't do that with, and that he can't use you to do that. That should fire us up. It's all in His timing. We have plans, like I said in the beginning, and we have, man, we have vision. We want to do all this, but it's all in God's timing. And if He's not taught me one thing, He's taught me patience since we planted New Life Baptist Church in Clinton. Because we have, man, we have desires. We want to do this, we want to do that. But you know what? He's like, just chill out. Just be patient and just trust me and just keep doing what I've told you to do. Just keep marching around the city. Just keep doing what you're doing. Just keep sharing the gospel. Just keep glorifying me. And you know what? I will give you victory. The walls will come crumbling down, one soul at a time. We've seen many people come to Christ since New Life was planted. Man, it's so awesome. I think that we need to get focused on that again, church. I think we need to get tuned in and trust God and walk by faith so that we can be focused on what truly matters. If you feel like you've just been circling and circling and circling, first, make sure that you're doing the right thing. Make sure you're following Christ. And if you are, just keep doing what you're doing. The walls will fall. The church, we have so many desires, right? Physical desires that we can use for spiritual growth. But do we trust Him enough to crumble the walls in front of us to be able to accomplish those things? I think sometimes we try to climb the wall. Right? I'm sure Joshua and the guys were like, we can just climb over the wall, go in there and destroy them. But God said, that's not how I want this to go down. I want you to just, by faith, do what I told you to do. I'll destroy the walls, then you guys can take the city. When we're focused with the big decision, we do not go to God and ask Him the plan. We make our own plan. Joshua could have already had a plan. And then God's like, that's not a good plan. And we wonder why we're so miserable, why we can't figure it out. We're almost done here. We change jobs. We move to a different city. We make huge decisions. We do all of this. And then we're miserable. And we're like, God, what is going on? He's like, did you ask me for guidance in any of this? I've made dumb decisions. And He's asked me that point blank question. Where was I in that decision? Where was I in you doing this or doing that? So I say that to encourage you, church, to, man, if you're faced with decisions, you need to make sure He's directing your steps. He'll make the path very clear, and He will lay it all out before you. But if you want to go and do it your way, He'll let you do that also. And He'll let you be miserable. And He'll be waiting for you. We're focused on the wrong thing when we act like that. Not on what matters, because there's no faith. There's no faith in trusting Him. All of us here today are faced with something, and the question that we're all faced with is, how are we going to react to those somethings? How are we going to react to the things that are in our life? Joshua could have told God that he was crazy and I'm not going to walk around this city for 7 days. We're going to do this today and we're going to move on and we're going to keep winning battles and we're going to keep doing this, God. But he trusted him. He had patience. The Bible says patience is a virtue. And that can only come from God. It says the city of Jericho was utterly burned and destroyed. It was a great victory. One of the key things here in this victory was that Joshua was a great communicator. And guys, this is one of my flaws that God is working on me. And sometimes I'm not a great communicator. Sometimes I don't communicate the plan. And I ask for forgiveness for that. Just as Joshua needed all of his army, I need you all as well. We are in this together. This is not a one-man show. This is not a show without a leader. We are in this together. But if I don't communicate well, then none of us will be on the same page. That's why we need to step back. That's why we are doing this. This is why God directed me here, because we need to step back and we need to really focus. We can't press. We can't not press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of Christ Jesus without focusing. We can press towards the wrong mark. And man, I think that sometimes we do that often. So we're focused. We're going to get focused. We're going to make sure that we're all focused and we all know where we're going so that we can begin to press towards the mark. We all, if you're born again today, you're pressing towards the mark. Jesus is coming back. But what are you doing in that short time span between born again and facing Jesus face to face? What are we doing with that? To wrap this up, I believe that sometimes my focus has been blurred, focused on the wrong things. And if we're going to press towards the mark, my focus has to change. Next week, we'll look at pressing towards the mark. But nothing else matters if we are focused wrong, if we're blurred, if our vision is blurred, because we will be pressing towards the wrong thing, church. Today, turn your focus from worldly things to spiritual things. And it starts with our faith. Quit focusing so much on the things of this world where the moths are going to come eat it all up, right? That's exactly what that means. You know, I remember my grandma used to have mothballs, right? So the moths wouldn't eat her dresses and stuff up. They will. They'll eat it up. And rust is, man, it's like a cancer. It will just eat it apart. The things of this world, that's what's going to happen to. Where's your treasure, church? Change where your treasure's at. Change what your treasure is. Build an altar right there. In the Old Testament, we see that when big things happened. What they do, they built an altar. They sacrificed something. It was a place of remembrance where something changed, where something significant happened. And we need those in our lives. Man, I can look back and I can remember. Man, why? Because I made a mark when something changed. We should have those in our life. That was when I made a decision to be all in. I wanted to, man, whatever you wanted to do in my life, God. It can be little things, big things, whatever it is. Make today a place of remembrance of the decisions that you're going to make to get focused, to really focus in on what matters. Turn from the old and trust God with the new and just know that He is in control. Can we do that today, church? I think we can because He's full of grace and mercy and He wants us to do that. Let's pray. Father.